Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
You know, I know that you worked in for male strippers. I read that, which I'm sure your mother loved that. But there's another thing we have in common is when I started I was in the clubs in like the mid to late 80s, I wanted to host because I wanted the show. I wanted, A, you got more stage time. B, you could really learn how to work a room and control a room. And you, same mindset. And you're,
that's so funny. That's, and not everybody wants that. They don't want to do it. They want to show up like a fucking princess and just have like a warm room ready for them. That's why when people are like, I want third spot. I'm like, you should be go anywhere in the fucking lineup.
Right.
And have a good set. Now, like if you have somewhere else to go, that's like another story. But yeah, I'm like, how do you get good without putting yourself in the weird, awkward situations of comedy? You know, that's where you get the fucking
a gold. Right. You know, it's the other thing about emceeing and hosting. When I started, the host was the star of the show. You know, a catch a rising star. It was like, come to so-and-so show and like you were the guests on the show, which is the way it should be. And people pay MCs less and it's the most important part of, you know, job. And the greatest thing about, I think, that I learned so much from MCing was you go on stage and you have to do a bit in between whatever happened. And that bit has to be strong on its own. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't, it's like, and it would solidify your bits.
Yeah. Absolutely. I would host at the Village Lantern, this little rinky-dink spot on Sullivan off of... I would bark, which is when you, like, you know, obviously...
Yeah, scream and try,
free comedy show. But then I started infusing comedy when I would bark. And I'm just like, ladies, we got some men in here with no kids and good credit, honey. You know, we got
some men God.
Time that can rent a car. And so I was like doing crowd work on the sidewalk. So I'm like,
right.
I'm barking and hosting these two shows for no money or whatever's in the love bucket, and then going to NBC and working an overnight shift. And so, you know, I think in my 20s, my mom was like, why are you single? And also you have a degree. And I couldn't tell you why I was doing it. I just knew that I had to do it.
Right. And, that's a true comic.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It is fucking bananas. And the quarantine really has made me think about how much not only I've worked this past year, but like the last 19 years. So I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Your first set in Los Angeles, the MC said, please welcome Michelle Buteau, another female trying to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will you be telling me who that is?
Oh, man. I'm not ready for all that yet. I'm not ready for like Twitter wars and shit.
That means I know the person. So I would get,
They're pretty famous. So I'm not like ready for that fucking back and forth. I want to hopefully help people, but also lead a quiet life. So
yeah, I hear you. So I would get whenever guys emceed, I would get, either they lift the mic stand really high up, you know, and I to the point where I had to say, don't mention I'm tall and don't pick the mic stand up to the, you know, and they'd right. go like, our next act is, and then they would say is a female, you know, and I read that you said you didn't know what to do and you didn't know that you could talk back. And I would literally get on stage. If anyone introduced me as a woman, yeah. I'd say, that's our MC. He's a guy. He has a cock and balls. He is a man, yeah. you know, yeah. and you know, this is, you know, we talk about the systemic racism, but there's the systemic misogyny as well but now it's all coming to a head. I mean, it's like all these.
Oh, it sure is. It sure.
I am freaking out.
This is the one good thing about social media is that, man, you'll get canceled and those deals will be canceled as right. well. You know, and I remember having friends 3 or 4 years ago when the Me Too movement started. He was like, and people would be like, I don't know if I've assaulted someone. I don't know if I've offended them. I'm like, if you don't know, then that is it yet.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and I feel for Whitney Cummings too, because one of her best friends was just outed as a fucking pedophile.
Right.
And that's my joke too. Like, a lot of my friends are coming out as
right pedophiles. The you know, people keep saying, gross. "Oh, it's the culture," and I, you know, I've been around a long time, and I've heard every. Excuse? I've heard every nasty slur and, you know, this one's a slur, you know, just the, and I just would give it right back to them. But
right.
it seems like, tell me if you think I'm wrong, not your generation, but this, like, people who've been doing stand-up for like 5-10 years now.
Yeah.
They are... You know, I don't want to say they're more delicate, but they're really calling. They're not putting up with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good thing. My only thing is that, you know, you really have to pick and choose your battles and find the nuance of what is funny and edgy and then, like, what, you know, and what really is wrong.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, especially younger comedians, are throwing a wrench in this fucking movement by saying, you know, they didn't let me order the wine I wanted. So therefore, they
right,
don't like
right, 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 right.
So you have to understand what the real fucking struggle is and was in order to move forward. And I think by doing that, you educate yourself. So, you know, I've always been told what we've been through, and then the other woman that's the other auntie that's 20 years old, what I've been through, and then what that auntie before has been through. And so, you know, I think I don't know. I know what life is like without social media. I don't know how it would be to be them where they really only live in hashtags and 140 characters or less. You really right. have to figure out who you are as a person before you start jumping on bandwagons, talking about some shit you really don't fucking know.
Yeah. Now, the same person who brought you up like that also said, I can't believe you're not gay because all the women are gay because you have to be tough or something in this, which, you know, I've heard that before too. But, you know, if I really thought about, you know, there are a lot of lesbian comedians because, you know, we do have a point of view, which you often mention when people ask you about stand-up, how important your point of view is. But I feel like being a lesbian, I never wanted to fuck any of these comics. Like, I was going to the clubs to be a better comic, and right. they knew they couldn't fuck me. Plus, I was gigantic. Even though, like, half of them were like, you know, I remember one comic came up to me. This is the shit I've listened to. One comic came up to me and said, you know, I'm really good at cunnilingus. I'm like, uh-huh. He's like, I'm going to be like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. Because I'm a lesbian. It was just like,
just
hey, you sure? You sure? No, if I wasn't, I am right now talking to you. You know, it's like.
Disrespectful on so many levels. I mean, first of all, that is no game. Like, at least come correct, you dumb basic bitch. Secondly, I think that, that they have something better that they can flip or change you.
Right.
And like, get the fuck out of here with that. Like,
right.
You know, like, I wish if the shoes were fucking
right.
But to really fucking add anything sexual and fucking gross into this situation, into a comedy club situation is, well, fuck, it's not where I want to be, man.
And right.
I mean, even the basic, I would bring my husband, who's a white dude, to my shows. I remember I was playing the Ice House for the first time. We went into the green room and everyone shook his hand. How you doing? What's your name? And he doesn't know. So he's just telling them, I'm just watching it all happen.
Right.
And they're like, what do you want us to say about you? And he's like, what do you mean? And they all thought that
he was the comic.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, this shit needs to fucking change. So I think Will Sylvain said, and you know,
I love him. I love Will.
Me too. And a lot of comedians say this as well. It's like, you know, don't play where you're the best, go where you're the worst, where it's like really hard to do
right
well on stage, and you'll get good. And so, you know, I always wanted to show these dumb basic men how fucking good I am and
right.
try to follow me, bitch.
That is the key. Yeah.
Try to follow me, bitch. Let's see if you're trying to fuck me after this.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah, I had a comic, a male, straight male comic who I would open for, magician comic, amazing Jonathan. He said, you are ready to headline and funny enough to headline. Do something to make sure no one wants to follow you. That was his advice. And yeah. That's when I did. I would lip sync and I am telling you I'm not going. I'd make them flash the lights, tell me get off stage, and then I would do this. And that's how I ended my HBO special. But, you know, I remember, and I, you know, look, I started with all these guys. I remember I was doing VH1 Stand Up Spotlight. Rosie was the host. And
I remember.
Remember that? And you would get, and I think Ray Romano was on my show and he didn't want to follow me. And I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, and part of me, because I'm a woman, was like, wait, is it because I'm too loud or am I too, but it was because I was funny, you know, but I never, and now, you know, he's a multi-billionaire. I have one bathroom in my apartment. So,
Hey everyone, I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Cheese. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
Okay. You have had, after about 5 years, you started getting successful. I mean, which is really good. I mean, most people, it takes at least 10. But you started getting shit right away. And you, like, I loved, is late night whatever. Or is it whenever, late night, whenever. I love that. Your podcast with Jordan. I love. And I remember, did we do Nick Mom together?
We did.
Yeah.
With Shepherd.
Yeah. And your comedy is so fucking funny because it's so much, well, it's brutally honest, which is what I love. But also that it's so much storytelling. It's not like, you're so in the moment, and your storytelling is so, I can't say you go on tangents, but you fucking acknowledge everything. Like, you don't let anything get away. It's just fun. Yeah. You're just so fucking funny.
But that's how I live in my brain. So it's very hard to fall asleep. And it was a fucking monster trying to get through my wedding vows because I don't know how to not say something. And again, the thing that I get in trouble for is the thing that I can make money on now. You know, my dad would be like, don't look at me like that. Don't give me that face. I'm like, I don't know what my face is doing.
Don't say,
You know what I mean? Like, wrap it up, Michelle. You know, you raise your hand, you get like 30 seconds. It's like, I don't. I like to be, and that's the great part about stand-up too, and I'm sure you know, it's like you get to be in control.
Oh, and you control the laughter. That's the key. I just, you know, my book is coming out in July, and that's the first chapter. It's called Yes, I Can Say That. It's about free speech. But I talk about how, you know, I was laughed at, and being a comedian was like, no, I'm going to tell you when to laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's deep, man. Oh, man, I can't wait to read it.
Oh, my God. You'll love it. It's like a love letter. Now you talk about, you know, as you know, I am James Lipton and did a lot of research. You talk about all these women comedians that you love. Nye was not mentioned, and you know, it's fine, but now you better fucking add me. Kathy Griffin. Fucking Kathy fucking Griffin. All right. I love Kathy. Huh?
No, I love Kathy too. And I feel like she was when I got to LA, she was the only person who was trying to do a gay show in one of these bigger comedy clubs.
Right.
And I think the Improv finally caught on because she had success at it in the Laugh Factory. And I'm like, okay, thank you for giving up, you know, a voice and a platform.
Right.
Fucking voices that can hear it.
Okay, so you grow up in this very traditional way, and you, when did you start meeting gay people and being such an ally? Like,
God damn it, what? I'm not ready, bitch. I'm not, you're gonna make me cry. Well, when we lived in Jersey, our first house, our neighbor, they had three kids. They were Irish. They were from Ireland. They had two sons and a boy. And I was best friends with her because tomorrow's her birthday. And we were 30 days apart and our moms were pregnant together. I always knew, I didn't, before I knew what gay was, I knew that she liked girls. So when we played house, I'm like, you should have the two Barbies and I'll have the male, the boy and the girl. And so like, I knew before she did. And even then, you know, later in life in college, she was like bisexual. Like it was never a thing. And then when she really realized that she was gay, it was very hard for everybody to accept. And I can't imagine having a child and just not loving your child no matter what.
Oh, please.
And so I remember her telling me, because, you know, I think I always knew people, but in Jersey, they were never allowed to be out and do them. And that's another thing I loved about Miami is that people were just in tank tops no matter what, like no matter who you was.
Right.
And that was also my first introduction into, you know, the whole trans culture of it all. And I, you know, knew of people, friends and friends of parents in Jamaica and stuff like that, but no one ever talked about it. And I had a gay cousin from Jamaica who had to leave Jamaica because she would have been killed. And she ended up in Holland, actually living 10 minutes away from my husband when we were dating. And fell in love with this Dutch Indonesian woman. I mean, she was shunned from the family and I got to reconnect with her. And then she found out she had cancer like 3 years
ago. Oh, God.
So the point is,
did they come at the end?
Yeah, it felt like we all came together in the end when she was alive. We weren't able to go for the funeral, but right. It was really And so I feel like, you know, these angels have been walking around silently all the time and we all sort of know, but don't say anything. And now that I know what stand-up is and I know how powerful sharing a voice is and just letting people know, screaming in the microphone, you are okay, you are perfect, you are worthy. That is me doing my part. It is my project. And so, you know, I remember telling my friend, she was like, you don't know how hard it is for me to go to all these baby showers and these weddings and my parents aren't happy with me and, you know, she lives with them still and, you know, is in her 40s and she's like, you just don't know how hard it is. And I'm like, I don't, but you also don't know how hard it is when I have to tell someone that I'm Black and they have to stop talking shit about Black people.
Right.
And so I like that I can make her laugh, but you know, I don't know how to tell somebody that they are fucking perfect.
Right. And get the fuck out of that house. And, you know,
and get the fuck out of that house.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I think always, but I love through stand-up that I really found a community that is, for me, at least stand-up means to live your utmost truth. And so,
right.
That's
where I want to. I know. You know, when I came out on stage, it was the mid-90s, and I came out as a gay parent, and it was freeing, but I definitely had people come up to me after my shows and be like, oh, your family's just like mine. You know, like, they realize the humor, like, totally unites, and real, you know, people realize that she has the same problems as I do. Like, it's just, it's a family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have Hazel and Otis. You had 4 years of IVF and five years. All right, I'm not perfect, James Lipton. I'll be Jane Lipton. Which I know, being a lesbian and trying to have a kid, you know, how it's hard. It's hard and it's so annoying. Like when you're trying to get pregnant and you're around these people who like, oh, we're pregnant. Oh my God, I was so unexpected. And you want to fucking take their face and smash it in the fucking ground.
Yeah.
And you decided on a surrogate, right? Which, like, I have never, I mean, I know gay guys who get surrogates and stuff like that, but what is it like to have another person involved like that?
Well, it feels a lot like my senior prom. Like, I'm right on the side hoping that this will work out in my favor and that I can find love. So a lot of things that happen to me in life, I'm, you know, as long as I can do my part to pay that bill on time and be a good person, I really hope it works out. But yeah, I mean, I'm so happy that surrogacy was a choice for me, because I know it's not a choice for a lot of people. And I feel like, especially with this administration, not to get fucking in that K-hole, but just like being born a woman, like, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You're damned if you want to have it, you're damned if you don't want to have it. It's just right. Like, which the fuck is it, government?
Right.
And so when I, after many failed attempts, and it was 5 years, 4 miscarriages, and a lot of money,
we still had it. So sad.
Yeah, and it was crazy because
so emotional.
I do feel like stand-up saved me a lot in that respect, and that, like, I had to go be happy clown. Like, I remember hosting for Rosie O'Donnell at Gotham, and that was, like, my first DNC, and I was, like, waddling up to the stage, just being like, hey, everybody. But I was in pain, but it just, it was healing to, like, have something to do, to put a shirt on, to put my lipstick on, and, like, go to people. So, but with that said, you know, I called my mom after our last miscarriage and I FaceTimed her. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. You know, like, I can't do this to my body. We're going to try and refinance our house or sell it to try and get a surrogate. And, you know, my mom did not miss a beat and she was so wonderful. And she was like, she was like, I was waiting for this phone call to tell me that you're not going to do this anymore to your body. And so we're going to dip into our savings and help our dreams come true. And so, you know, I talk a lot of shit about being the only child, but sometimes it doesn't work out in your favor and that like your dreams are their dreams. And so they both help facilitate that. And, but to get to your question, what is it like? It's crazy, man. It's, it feels like you're just walking in a dark room and you keep stepping on a toy car and you're like, what is that? And it's like a bump in the road, but it'll be okay. And everyone's like, no, this will happen. This baby will happen. And I never really thought it could happen. But Jordan Carlos, I remember talking to him and he was like, I was down about it. And he was like, because I'm like, I don't know if she could stay pregnant. I don't know anything. I don't know if she's a Trump supporter. I don't know anything. And he said, Michelle, sometimes there could be a happy ending. Like, you could have a good ending. So, like, I really held on to that. And he's such a good friend because he somehow always tells me what I need to hear in the moment.
Right. He's very wise.
He is. He is. He's
an
really
old soul.
Is.
Yeah.
He is. And so, and then it just turned out his mom is named Hazel. So it's like this weird.
Oh, I love that name too. He also said to you that when you become a parent, you have to learn how to parent yourself.
Yes. Yeah. He definitely said that to me. And I was like, fuck. Yeah. And the first time I really realized what the fuck that meant was at the Baptism Blessing, where I was like, you fucking right. I got to check myself. I'm no longer my mom's little girl that's going to disappoint her. Right. I am somebody's mom. And, you know, if my little girl checks me and be like, well, why are these godmothers here and not those?
Right.
That's like, I have to explain that shit to her. So yeah, man, it's been
They're so fucking cute. And then they turn into assholes. Anyway, you said that you treat your relationship with your husband like you treat your career. And I fucking love that, because if my girlfriend, Elisa, heard, I would be ringing the bell, but bing, because she's a Jew. If she heard that being said, so hopefully she will not listen to this part of the podcast, because she's always like, it's your career. But you only care about your kids and your career, and I'm third. And I'm like, you're not third. But, you know, that made me think, God, the amount of work I put into my career, especially because we have to reinvent ourselves all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bet I would have, you know, I wouldn't have as many fights with Lee. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah, man, it's work. And I also don't want to take shit for granted. Do you know what
I mean? Right.
I feel like nice people that I actually can stand, I don't come across very often. So if I love you hard, right? And if I want to see you, then I'm going to fucking fight for this because, you know, yeah, I've just never really not only loved but liked anybody this
right.
much.
It's true. And you got to be friends. You got to fucking laugh.
True.
I remember when we did, was it the Ms. Foundation we just did? What did we do?
I think it was that.
And we were talking in the green room and you were like, I was like, oh my God. Everything is happening for you. And you were like, yeah, right when I got pregnant, not when I'm pregnant, right when I had kids. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's fucking always the way. And now my kids are getting out of the house and I'm like, Pan fucking Demick.
I know.
And you were like, I remember you're like, and you were like, I don't want to complain. I'm happy, but it's really shitty timing. But
yeah, like the one time I actually want to be the fuck home.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
I am so thrilled for your... Do you feel lucky? Do you feel like
You know what? I didn't realize how lucky I was till the fucking pandemic, and I really got to sit in a room and think about all this shit I've done, because this is the ultimate. If you scroll through social media, besides a race revolution happening and people politicizing science, this is really the ultimate. Besides the world fucking burning, this right. is the ultimate TBT and Flashback Friday of like
right.
people are just like looking at your shit and you're like, fuck, I've done so much shit. Like you forget because it's always what next? That was great. What next?
Right.
Just keep it moving. And so
it was weird for me because I go out like 4 or 5 nights a week and we get to Provincetown. I leave. I had a set. I canceled the set at the Cellar because I was like, I'm not getting COVID. And then I left the next day. And this is the first time in my adult life where I've eaten dinner with my family and then stayed home and then was like, oh, let's watch. Like I never binge watched anything before. It's so fucking amazing.
It's pretty fucking dope.
I always ask my guests 2 questions. So you're included. Number one, we are very pro mental. I suffer from like anxiety and depression. I've been on, you know, if I could show you my pill container right now. Been in therapy since I'm 18. So we're very pro mental health. So what do you do to maintain your mental health?
Oh man. Therapy. Used to meditate. Don't anymore.
Did you do TM?
No, I'm not gonna pay $100.
100? It's like $1,000. It's like $2,500. What the fuck? $100.
I clicked on it a couple times, and then whenever I got to that part, I was like, no, bitch.
Yeah, just to get a mantra. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's the CrossFit of meditation.
Right.
So, yes, actually, when I would drive and then ride the subway, that was sort of my time. But now right. I'm home with nanny, 18 to 24 diapers. Haven't had a therapy session in a while.
I'm not
gonna lie, because it's on the phone. There's nowhere to go. It's 45 minutes. You know, he's trying to make a new appointment at 42 minutes. I'm like, can I get this fucking thought out?
I hate when they do that. And this is the other thing. I fucking hate when they, when you're in the middle of something and you're in their office and you can just see their eye go like to the corner because they have a hidden clock.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then they lean forward and you're like, okay, fuck you.
Yeah. As a female comic, I never want to blow the fucking light, but at 42 minutes, I'm like, can I just figure out one last fucking thing? But like,
right.
No, I haven't done that, but I definitely need to find someone new.
Have you ever been on antidepressants or anything?
No, I do take shit once in a blue. I have to get an annual MRI and then just in general. I would like to though. But I have this benign brain tumor that I'm taking medication for to shrink it. So
what?
Yeah, that's the reason why I wasn't able to stay pregnant is because my body thinks it's pregnant. I'm a science project. So yeah.
Wait, you have a little brain. Where is it?
Pituitary.
Oh God, that fucking blows.
I know. It's called prolactinoma. It fucking sucks. I have to take medication. Otherwise I might go blind. I'm like, that fucking is horrible. No. So what else do I do for, you know, this is a very interesting question for me at this time because it's just not about me. I want to say rosé.
Right, right.
And it's there, but this is like, I'm really just trying to do everything I can to get through. I miss I miss someone just being nice to them all day.
Yeah, I know it's so hard, isn't it?
Oh man, it is from 5:30 a.m. to 7:30, 8 p.m. It is... I'm trying my best, but it's fucking hard.
I always felt jet lagged, like the worst kind of jet lag. Like at any point you could pass. Right. Any point during the day, if you sat down, you could fucking pass out. That's how I felt.
Oh, I got a glass of wine for this because this is my big fucking night out to step away.
Woo!
I hear the cry and I know what cry it is. It's like they want a toy.
Yeah.
But I can't. I fucking can't.
So. I know, but don't you love them so much?
I do. I would really do anything for them. Talk to me in 2 years.
I know.
But I would do anything for them.
Yeah.
Anyone who talks, who like is like, but what's wrong with her? Because she doesn't smile, but he does. You know, like, what's wrong with her? Like, just perfect strangers. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like,
oh, fuck you.
Yeah, get the fuck away from me. I can't. Anyways.
I hate people. They say, and you know what? People don't realize, I write this about this in my book, that people say the shittiest things to comics as if, like, because there is no fourth wall in what we do, and we so, you know, vomit out our personal lives, people think they can just say whatever the fuck they want to you. And it's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, just because I say whatever I want on stage is not me.
Right. And you don't know me.
Woo.
Here's the last thing. Now, I do call my podcast Kill Me Now, which now everyone, you know, now everyone's like, oh, it's inappropriate. But I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's because I say Kill Me Now all the time because I hate everyone, but I kind of love everyone too. So, and I get annoyed at a lot of things. So I'm curious, and I ask every guest, what pisses you off? Like, what makes you so fucking crazy mad? Like, fucking you can't stand.
Oh my God, there's a fucking list. That's not okay. There's a fucking list.
Okay.
Okay? You know what the list is? Oh my God, here it goes. Fucking useless basic bitches who show up and want to be pretty and have nothing to add.
Right.
I don't give a fuck if you are a model, fucking do something, okay? We're all in this together. Just because I'm a size 18 that I'm Octavia Spencer in every movie and I'm supposed to get your shit.
Right.
Number one. Number two, if I hit you with Black Lives Matter, don't hit me with All Lives Matter. You fucking know.
Oh, I fucking, fuck that shit. Fuck that, that's what we're talking about.
Exactly. And don't fucking hit me with just like, well, why does it matter that they don't have a bathroom or they have a bathroom when it comes to trans people? You are a fucking idiot, okay?
You know, I always say to people when they're like, oh, the bathroom, that I go, when you're on a plane, what the fuck, do you care who's in the fucking bathroom before you? Exactly. So shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Also, kill me now, okay?
Yes.
Because that is fucking bullshit. And these are friends of mine that are saying this shit. I'm just like, you are really showing your goddamn fucking colors. People who don't vote because they don't think their voice matters or they just don't think it's really going to count.
I can't. That.
Fucking leave the country. Somewhere else.
And you think about how many people died for the right to vote and that women didn't get the right to vote till 1920. Like, fuck you.
Fuck you. When people hit me with the, but I'm not political, it's not about you now. It's about everybody fucking else.
Right.
So look out for your neighbor because you get to be you off the backs of fucking people that work for your fucking right to be a lazy fucking cunt watching Bravo.
I love you.
I couldn't pick a thing. I'm sorry.
No, that's fucking great. I love it. I can't stand. I am so dumb with people. It's so fucking annoying. And I'm so glad. I mean, I hate that it has to happen this way, but it's about fucking time. It's about fucking time. You bring people to this country against their will. Don't even consider them a full person. They build the country. They build it. They built the fucking White House. And then you're like, bye now. Like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Fuck you. And people who are just like, why are people looting and rioting? Motherfucker. These motherfuckers get to loot and riot after a fucking hockey game when their team doesn't win.
Right. You're not kidding.
Yeah, they're dispirited. But all of a sudden, I mean, not only have motherfuckers been unemployed for months and months and months and can't get a check because no one's picking up the fucking phone when they call unemployment.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to go to fucking Old Navy and get their kids fucking 3 shirts because they grew already in the 3 fucking months.
Right.
Don't get me,
how many times are we looted by white collar crime and banks and you fuck you, bitch. You fuck.
Bitch, exactly. It fucking exactly. Oh my God, it's bananas. And I don't think enough people are talking about Jeffrey Epstein right now.
That piece of shit.
Get the fuck together. It's on Netflix, motherfucker. Like,
I know. I couldn't sleep. I have to watch it earlier in the day.
Yeah,
it's
no, that's
really
just like
bad.
Zombie apocalypse.
Kind of like what's going on. Yeah. Like with certain comics who, I have to believe the survivors. I have to believe, you know, the survivors of, you know.
I didn't make that shit up. I mean,
right.
So you're telling me over 50 women from all walks of life in a 30-year age gap are just coming up with the same story beginning, middle,
and end? Same exact story, yeah.
You fucking think they just magically made that shit up? Go somewhere else.
I know. Okay. Now, I am, only thing I'm concerned about you with is that you are giving a pass to your Trump supporting friends. Because at this point, I'm done. The fact that you would vote for a, well, first of all, he's dumb. He has put all of our lives in danger. He has sold our country to dictators, and, you know, and the fact that he's so openly racist.
So there's, everybody is so different that has voted for him, right? So I have a cousin that's voted for him. She lives in Freehold, Jersey, very blue collar, right out of Staten Island. Just, you know, I think for her, it was more anti-Clinton and just like, we'll see what happens. I haven't talked to her. I hope she has buyer's remorse.
Okay. So that's fine. And if they're not going to vote for him again, but if anyone's going to vote for him now,
it's not even about political party at this point. It's about right and fucking wrong. He's a dangerous piece of shit. He's a cockroach. Okay. He's always going to fucking survive.
Right.
I can't believe he's probably had the COVID two times. So like he's a cockroach. Okay. And so my friend in Jersey truly doesn't know fucking anything. And
right.
Now she does. And she's going to like Black Lives Matter protests in Jersey, and she's 180, right? And I have Dutch friends who I don't think really understand how dangerous he is. And I don't know what articles they're reading, but they're like, he doesn't seem that bad. It seemed like the economy was pretty good. I'm just like, you've been here.
Oh, fuck the economy.
Fuck your economy.
Right.
Fuck your economy. Like just basic fucking
human
rights.
Equal
rights, human rights. Like, you know, one of them tried to hit me with, well, take the emotion out of it and then explain it to me. And I'm just like, if you're not emotional, then you don't give a shit about anybody.
Right, exactly. So anyways. All right. I can't, this was my treat for the week. Again, you are so beautiful inside and out. Your book is coming out in December.
Oh my God. Yes. Survival of the Fittest. Plus size essays in a small minded world.
I love it. My book comes out July 28th, and I just found out yesterday that it's the same day that Mary Trump's book about the Trump family is coming out.
Oh my God.
Because that is the luck that I have.
Look, it's so funny if the thumbnails were like, if you like this, you'll
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Right, right. You Netflix, the Circle, is it called The Circle? What is
The Circle? Yeah, we're doing two more seasons this year, and then my Netflix special is coming out, I think, sometime in October.
That's so great. You're just, I fucking love you. I fucking love you, and I want to come visit and see those babies.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
I will. I have a car.
Oh, nice. And you're Upper West Side?
Yes.
I mean, I'm City Island. I'm not too far.
I know.
Mm-hmm. The Bronx.
Whatever. Where? Tell everyone where they can find you.
Oh God, fucking Google, bitch. You know what I mean?
No, that your social media shit. You're so mom. You're such mom brain. Yeah, go ahead.
I know. I'm like Michelle Buteau on Twitter and Instagram. And
B-U-T-E-A-U, you fuckheads. Okay,
yes.
And two L's and two L's.
Yes.
All right. I can't thank you enough. Please kiss your babies.
I will.
And only good things for you. You are the best. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having James Litton. God damn it.
Jane Litton.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the amazing Michelle Buteau. If you like the show, which, I mean, how can you not? Make sure to subscribe and leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. 5 stars only. That is the only review that you are allowed to give. Also, if you haven't had the chance to pre-order my new book, yes, I can say that, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. It's available for pre-order right now, and it will be released on July 28th, and I did an audiobook, and you have to get it. Just so you know, Margaret Cho said, Judy Gold is the voice we need to cut through all the bullshit. I love her, and she always makes me laugh. We need her now more than ever, okay?
That's from Margaret Cho, the amazing genius Margaret Cho. So there you go. It would mean so much to me if you would check it out. All pre-order links are on the homepage of judygold.com or wherever books are sold. You can go on, you know, Amazon. You can go wherever, you know, those independent bookie places, whatever. It's there and it's great. So make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all upcoming events and dates. And as you know, my name on social media is at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. You know, like Jew Gold. You know what I mean? Okay. So be safe, stay healthy, and as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.